dwelleth in him. Down from his glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus is his name, born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony.
Thank you, Mrs. Garner, as a blessing. We cannot be reminded enough of Him, His love, His goodness, His mercy, His redemption. Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I apologize for our little glitch here in our pulpit mic. You know, things like microphones and lights and such around the church auditorium don't go out on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. They usually go out on a Sunday or a Wednesday night. But nevertheless, they do go out, and we beg your indulgence. If you found your place in 1 John chapter 3, stand with me, and we shall read the first three verses of this for our message this morning. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And I want you to notice just this statement for the subject of our message this morning in verse number 2. When he shall appear. It's talking about Jesus. We just finished the Christmas season and we remembered his first coming, prophesied, predicted, told about in the Scripture. Now then, I want on this last Sunday morning of this year to remind you that he is coming again. Let us not leave this year without Jesus in our heart and on our mind. And know that 2009 might be the year of his coming, or we may never make it to 2009. I believe Jesus is coming again. You know, Jesus, Christmas reminds us of the fact that he came. And yet there's more prophecy in the Scripture about his second coming than his first coming. We celebrate Easter, and it reminds us that he came, died, arose again, and ascended back to the Father with a promise. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you've seen him go. As we observe the Lord's Supper together as a church family, we remember that he came, he died, he arose. And it tells us in that formula, in the example of Paul teaching the Corinthian church about how to observe the Lord's Supper. And as often as you do these things, you'll remember his death, burial, and resurrection till he comes. Have you given any thought to Jesus coming again? Are you ready for his coming? Are you prepared for his coming? If he had come last week, would you have been ready? Had he come last night, would you have been ready? If he comes today, are you ready? The Bible says, when he shall appear. I love the way the Bible states it. Doesn't leave question marks connected with it. Now I want to speak to you for a few moments on that subject this morning, when he shall appear. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message. Give me liberty and power to preach beyond my ability. Lord, I realize that at best we're just sinners saved by grace. Yes, we've been called of God. Yes, we've had his hand upon us, filled with the Spirit of God. But yet, without you, we cannot make this message live like it needs to live. We ask you to breathe on it, that it might not be just a sermon, but a a Bible truth that lives in us, and it's real to us, so real that we're personally and definitely making preparation for the Lord's coming. Use me. Save every unsaved person in this building today, we ask you. Bring conviction upon hearts that are not living as Christians ought to live. And Lord, there are some here today that have been saved, but they've never followed you in believers' baptism after they got saved. Help them to come today and on this last Sunday of this year, take care of that for your sake, to honor you, to give public testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ. And then, Father, there are others who need a church home. You didn't save people to leave us in the world and not have a place where we could worship you and grow and serve and minister. You saved us and you put us here to be a part of your church. Now, Lord, there's people here that need to get into church and begin to serve you. And I pray on this Sunday you'd speak to hearts. Now, Father, there's some here today that do not know you as their Savior. If they should die this morning where they are standing, they'd die and go to hell without God and without hope. I'm asking you to bring conviction upon their heart and save their soul today for Christ's sake. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. These three verses that I've read to you this morning are among my favorites in the Bible. In these three verses, some of the most blessed doctrines in the Bible are mentioned. For instance, the doctrine of the love of God. What manner of love is this that God hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God? John was overwhelmed with the fact that God loved him. It was undeserved love, unfathomable love, unselfish love, undefiled love, unending love. And I could go on and on. The love of God is mentioned here. The new birth is referred to in these passages. In verses 1 and 2, he says, "What manner of love is this the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God?" I became a son of my earthly father by physical birth. We become children of God, sons of God, by spiritual birth. And Jesus said, you must be born again. And then our positional standing in Christ is referred to here. Sons of God. No longer strangers and foreigners. No longer enemies. But in Christ reconciled to God. We're sons of God. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Then the subject I shall preach on this morning is mentioned, the second coming of Christ, when he shall appear. Then the glorification of the body is referred to. It says we don't know what we're going to be like, but when he doth shall appear, we shall be like him. We'll have a new body. Just as Jesus was given a glorified body at the resurrection, when he comes back, every saved person that's died and put into the grave, that body will be raised incorruptible. It'll be glorified. It'll be given a body like unto the resurrected body of Christ, reunited with spirit and soul. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up in the air. We'll be changed, the Bible says, in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll get that glorified body without dying when Jesus comes. But every one of us will have that new body glorified, like unto Christ. And then the doctrine of holiness is referred to in verse number 3. Every man that hath this hope, the hope of his coming, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Bible talks about Christians who really are looking for Christ to come, believing that he's coming again, is going to get rid of the things out of his life that ought not be there. He's going to try to get ready to meet Jesus. Isn't it amazing when people come to our home, ordinary people, we clean the house and get ready for their coming? Or at least my mama did, and my wife does. You may not, but somebody coming to see us was special. And I'm telling you, when Jesus comes, that's special of special days. And we ought to get ready to meet Him. That means we don't want to meet Him with a lot of the junk of this world, the garbage of this world. I'm ashamed that Christians choose to live like human garbage cans today. But the Bible says if we really believe Jesus is coming, and we have this hope in us, we purify ourselves. Even as He is pure. That means we get rid of some of the stuff. We willfully and purposely decide that we're not going to cuss anymore, not going to smoke anymore, we're not going to drink anymore, we're not going to dope anymore. We're going to dress right, act right, behave ourselves as a Christian, because Jesus is coming, and He's coming soon. Now, I don't know about you, I believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible teaches that His coming is imminent. I believe that word imminent means soon, at any minute. I believe His coming is literal, not spiritual, literal. Jesus, this same Jesus, the Bible says, is coming again. I believe He's coming in person. In person, according to Acts 1. And His coming will be followed by 7 years of tribulation. And then He's coming back to the earth again to set up His kingdom. And we will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart and soul, because the Bible teaches it. Now let me get to my message. Just a couple of three thoughts this morning when He shall appear. Notice how God states it. When He shall appear. It did not say if He returns. There's no if connected with it. No doubt. When He shall appear. Notice also it's not stated with a question mark connected to it. The Bible doesn't say, is Jesus coming again? States it positively, plainly, when He shall appear. No ifs, ands, and buts connected with it. He's coming. When He returns, it's a statement of fact in the Bible. Jesus is coming again. And I wish I could get this across to you. You believe He came the first time. You believe He was born in Bethlehem's manger. You just went through a time of celebrating His birth, though we don't know exactly when it was. You believe He was born. You believe it is a Bible fact and a historical fact. God became flesh and dwelt among us. We believe that. And yet the Bible states just as plainly and just as honestly and just as emphatically that Jesus is coming again. John didn't have a question mark connected with it. When He shall appear. When He shall appear. A statement of fact. Jesus made the promise, and it cannot be broken, in John 14. He said in verse 2 and 3, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The Bible tells us about His second coming so we can be ready when He comes. The first time He came, people were not ready for Him. He came to His own and they received Him not. Oh, my dear friend, what a terrible thing it would be when He comes again, that God's own children are not ready for His second coming. We're not living for His coming. We're not looking for His coming. And Oh, I can't even imagine what it would be like to be unsaved and Jesus come. Now listen, we're not in the generation that had to get ready for His first coming. We were not there. But I believe we're going to be the generation that has to get ready for His second coming. Literally, visibly, personally. Are you ready this morning? Are you ready? The second coming is as much a part of the plan of God as the virgin birth was, the death on the cross was, the resurrection of Christ was. It's as much the plan of God as salvation by grace or His ascension back to the Bible, back to heaven. The Bible was 100% correct about His first coming. And may I tell you, it'll be 100% correct about His second coming as well. Jesus is coming again. If I can't believe what the Bible says about His second coming, then I can't believe the Bible. Because it's saturated with the coming of Christ. Jesus is coming again. Now let me say in the second place that all people will be affected by His coming. But only certain people will benefit from His coming. All people will be affected by His coming. But only certain people will benefit from His coming. Consider first of all those who will benefit. Only those who have been can be called the children of God. Only those who are born again. Only those who can say He's taken away my sins. He's forgiven my sins. Verse number 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We will be at benefit when Jesus comes. We'll be given that new body. We'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be caught up together with Him in the clouds forever to be with the Lord. Oh, what a blessed benefit that's going to be. We'll leave this old world behind. We've got a mansion prepared for us there. A mansion promised by God. You don't earn it. It's a part of God's gift at salvation. It's for everyone. And let me tell you something, I don't believe there's going to be big mansions and little mansions because it's all a part of God's gift of grace. I'm going to benefit from His coming. I'm going to benefit when the trumpet sounds and Jesus is coming. I'm one of those that have been born again. Verse number 9 in this same chapter. Whosoever is born of God. Talking about the saved. You must be born again, Jesus said. Have you? Only those that's been born again is going to benefit from His coming. Only those whose sins have been taken away, washed away by the blood of Jesus, will benefit when He comes. Now listen to me carefully. We're living in a day when the world is so screwed up concerning the Word of God that we don't know what we believe. People have messed with the Bible and they've changed it here and changed it there and changed it. You don't even know which Bible to believe. I do, but most of the world doesn't. Passages have been removed and words have been changed and doctrines have been changed. Most of the world don't even know what is the Word of God. I do. You do. We live in a day when people think that everybody's going to heaven. But I'm here to tell you, not everybody's going to heaven. If everybody was going to heaven, then why did Jesus have to die? If everybody's going to heaven, why did Jesus say you must be born again? If everybody's going to heaven, why did Jesus say, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God? You see, only those that are saved, those that have been born again, are going to benefit when Jesus comes. See, when Jesus comes in a moment, the saved are going to be caught up together with Him. The saved dead will be raised first and given a glorified body. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds forever to be with the Lord. We're going to leave this old world behind. But how will it affect the rest of the world of the unsaved? How will they be affected? First of all, every unsaved person will be left behind at the rapture. Every unsaved person living at the time of Jesus will go into the tribulation and the great tribulation. Every unsaved person will face, that's living, will face the reign of the Antichrist, who is that Satan incarnate individual that will terrorize this world and the people of God during the last 3.5 years. At best, the unsaved will face death during the tribulation. And then hell. Then hell. Everybody's going to be affected by His coming, but only the saved are going to benefit. There's no benefit in going through the tribulation. There's no benefit in being cast into hellfire. There's no benefit there. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Now let me say also that you cannot be a bystander and impartial when Jesus comes. Nobody's going to stand by and be unaffected because they're indifferent. You'll either be a part of the rapture or the part of the tribulation when Jesus comes. You'll either be one that's a recipient of heaven or you're waiting until you'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. The best thing you've got to look forward to after Jesus comes is the tribulation. Because after the tribulation, it's hellfire. It's the lake of fire forever and ever. You say, preacher, what are you doing? You trying to scare us? No, I'm trying to tell you the truth. I'm trying to preach to you truth. I'm simply saying Jesus is coming, and when He shall appear, I want you to be ready. I don't want you to live a wasted life and spend your eternity wasted in hell. God made you for better than that. But you must come to Him by faith in Jesus Christ. Then may I say in the third place, what is the hope of His coming to the Christian? Look at verse number 3. For every man that hath this hope in him. The Bible calls the coming of Christ the blessed hope. John said, if we have this hope in us, what does this hope produce? Well, number one, we shall see Jesus. And guess what? He's no longer the enemy. He's my Savior. He's my spiritual brother. He's my God. He's the one I'm looking forward to seeing. He's the one I want to serve here. He's the one I ought to be trying to be like. It's the will of God that every child of God be conformed to the image of Christ. We shall see Jesus. What's the hope of His coming? The dead in Christ shall be raised first. Oh my goodness. Here I am living in 2008. I've got a mama, a daddy that have already died in the Lord. They've already, bodies been buried. Their soul and spirit's already been with the Lord. And the hope of His coming is that body's going to be raised. I'm going to see them again. You say, when you see them, will you recognize them? The Bible says we'll know as we're known. Was Elijah recognizable on the Mount of Transfiguration? Was Moses recognizable? Absolutely. Yes, we'll recognize one another. Yes, we'll know one another. The dead in Christ shall be raised. I've got a brother that was killed in the Second World War. Got saved and baptized in a revival the summer before he went off to war. He's buried in France. When Jesus comes, I'll get to see him again. Ah, the hope of his coming. The hope connected with his coming. All the saved will be given a new body. You say, what's my new body going to be like? Like Christ. Like Christ. Psalmist said, I'll not be satisfied until I awake in his likeness. One of these days when he comes, in a moment we're going to be changed and we'll be like him. We'll be like him. Now let me stop right here and say, that does not mean you should not give attention to trying to be like him before he comes. You ought to live to please him. You ought to try to walk in his footsteps. You ought to learn to live to honor his name and glorify his name. What's the hope connected with his coming? All saved have been promised a home in heaven. The hope of his coming, that old enemy, Satan, shall face his doom. The bottomless pit, then the lake of fire. What's the hope of his coming? This old earth is going to be renovated by fire, and God's going to bring to pass a new heaven and a new earth. Hey, these tree huggers, these people that are all want to save the earth, God's got a plan greater than that. He's going to take care of pollution, global warming. He's going to warm it up a little bit more before he fixes it. Bible says it's going to be renovated by fire. It's going to be burnt up, purified by fire. A new heaven and a new earth. And then we'll rule and reign with him 1,000 years. And listen to me. There's no if connected with that. There's no question mark connected. When he shall appear. The only question about the second coming that should concern us is, how will his return affect me? Will you be one of the lost, left behind, doomed, no hope? You say, oh, after he comes and we're in the tribulation, I'll get saved then. Not according to Scripture, if you've heard the gospel in the church age. Well, if you've heard the gospel in the church age and not accepted Christ during the tribulation, you'll believe the lie. You'll be damned, the Bible says. God's will is that you trust him now. Say, get saved now. Live for him now. How will his coming affect you? Will you be one of those left behind? One of those that'll face the tribulation and doom and damnation without hope? Or how will it affect you? Are you one of the saved? That when he shall appear, you'll be caught up to be with him in the clouds, forever to be with the Lord. You'll be given a new body. You'll have the promise of heaven for all eternity. Hurts, the heartaches, the fears, the sorrows of this world are gone behind you, left behind you, because Jesus, my Savior, has come. Now listen to me, my dear friends. If you're going to be ready for Jesus to come, first thing you need to do is make sure you're saved. And I've got to ask you, do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? I don't believe in getting saved and lost and getting saved again and saved again. No, you can only be born again one time. And once you've been born again, you can't ever be lost again. But there'll be times in our Christian life we need to be revived again. Do you know you're saved? Do you know you've been born again? Can you look back and remember that time when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Mrs. Smith and I talked to someone yesterday, and she said, "Oh, I can't remember when I didn't believe in God." Well, that's not the question. You can be raised up in a Christian home and never personally accept Christ. It's good if you can't ever remember when you didn't believe in God, but can you remember when you put your trust in Him, accepted Him as Savior, ask Him to forgive us your sin and save your soul? That's the question. Just as you were born physically into this world, you can go back and celebrate a day, a time of physical birth. If you've been born again, you can remember a time of spiritual birth. For me, it happened on August the 23rd, 1954. I was a 15-year-old boy. Jesus saved me. You say, "Preacher, you ever forget it?" No more than I forgot my first birth. In fact, it's more real to me than my first birth. Though I was there when it happened, I don't remember it. But I sure remember getting saved. Do you? When He shall appear, will He find you saved? Will He find you following Him, having followed Him in believer's baptism? Some of you are saved, eh, and you've never been baptized after you got saved. You've made excuses. I don't want to face Him with a bunch of excuses. Why? My baptism is my public declaration that I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's identifying me with my Savior who died, was buried, and rose again for my justification. When he shall appear, I want to know I'm saved, and I want to know that I've been scripturally baptized. Thirdly, I want to know that I've been in church serving Him faithfully when He shall appear. Some of you need to get some things right with God and get back in church and begin to serve Him. For the Bible says, when He shall appear. He's coming. You say, "Preacher, can you pinpoint it a little closer?" No. God didn't do it either, because He didn't want you to wait until the last minute of the last hour to try to get ready. He wants us to get right, get ready, and live for Him, so that when He shall appear, we're ready and looking forward to His coming. Are you? There'd be a good time to get right. There'd be a good time to get saved. There'd be a good time to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. There's a good time to get back in church and start living for Jesus. Father, that's our message. I sure do thank You, Lord, for loving us and dying for us. Lord, if You'd so desired, You could have come without warning. But just as You told us about Your first coming over and over and over again in the Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New, You talk about Your second coming.